Imagine your life as a string of lights, each bulb marking a moment that changed you. Now imagine adding a vibrant new bulb to that string, a brand experience so powerful it becomes an unforgettable part of who you are. That's the magic we chase at The Voice of Experience, your go-to podcast for the art, science, and secrets of making brands unforgettable. We'll crack open the craft of memory making to prove how experiences leave their mark and connect us to brands and products forever. This is your bite-sized masterclass of the mind-blowing science behind memories, real-world case studies of unforgettable experiences, and actionable takeaways that will have you seeing marketing and your brand differently. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Hello, my friend Max.
Hello, my friend Elke. How are you?
I think, over-caffeinated. I'm having the heart palpitations right now.
The little heart palpitations that, like, we ignore. Like, that can't be serious. That's just coffee.
Yeah, I hope it's just coffee.
I know, right?
Or I'm really excited to record the podcast today because, Max,
yes,
we had our most listened to episode, our last episode, Dick Moves by Brands, which is awesome and exciting. And I hope we have some new listeners out there joining us today.
Oh, that is really cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, way to set the context and make me nervous. Now I have heart palpitations.
I'm sorry. We've got a good topic today. So let's get into it.
All right, cool.
And it's something, Max, that you and I, like everyone in the world, we've been spending a lot of time and energy talking about AI and the future of creativity when it comes to marketing and brand experiences.
Sure.
So I've got a lot of things I want to talk to you about, some thoughts. So let's dig in.
Totally.
So AI has quickly changed how we are all thinking about creativity and who and what can be, air quotes, creative. So what I want to start with is just a general feeling that you have on the impact that AI has on the creative act of strategy, ideas, design, but also us as human beings, because we have feelings and we have emotions. So there is, you know, a lot of concern in general about AI, but I think it has really unique implications for our industry. So my first kind of big question is, how do you view AI in terms of agency creative? And, like, what are your yellow flags?
You know, because it's such a fast-moving, ever-changing, and quite frankly, like, none of us ever expected something this quick to be appropriated, or this big to be appropriated this quickly. My general mood is totally yellow flag in that it's cautious optimism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in the sense that, like, I have to temper two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, as someone who understands how agencies and how, to a certain extent, certain CPG brands and a lot of brands in general make their money and where AI can appropriately address operational creativity, right? Like, so versioning and testing and focus, like all that stuff. I get super, super excited about that because that is a foundational tool that so far has been predicated on unlocking more creativity, right? So the sentiment is you take the operational kind of like housekeeping of versioning and rendering and A-B testing, et cetera, off creative people. They will have more time to be creative. So on that side, I'm excited, like really, really excited. On the other side is, what does that do to the humans and how they feel about their their own creativity, right? Like, how does it impact? Does it accelerate people? Does it make them more nervous? Does it create more dissonance than excitement, etc. So on that part is TBD. Like, and so that would be like how, to me, is like a little bit of a red flag, is like, how are we really feeling, to your point, about this?
Yeah.
Right? And that's the yellow in the middle. Me personally, I'll just, because I love talking about myself.
Yeah.
me personally, I am stoked. Like, because I like the idea of the new and the weird and the, you know, like, what does this mean? But not everyone does, right? And so I just feel like it's still a yellow to me, even though all the signs point to operationally totally green. Mm. Humanly, probably a red.
Okay. Not surprised that you are someone that's going to run full throttle at any sort of like new ways of being creative, right? Like you're very much that person, which is awesome. Do you worry at all about like skill erosion?
No, but at the same time, God, this is going to sound terrible, right? But I have a pretty healthy sense of my own creativity. Right. Like I've been in the game long enough to know that, like, hey, this, I don't feel like I'm replaceable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Like I feel like I can bring a point of view. And that's ultimately what it really is, because it's an augmentation of a human's point of view. Mm-hmm. And if you're not comfortable with your own point of view being augmented, you are not going to be comfortable with this tool.
Nah.
But if you are, and you want to lean into it, then it becomes really interesting, right? Because it gives you that second voice in your head that you can bounce ideas off of, right? Like, like it gives you the ability to extrapolate your own thinking with impunity, really, quite frankly. And for those who are really energized by that, that's a huge green flag. For those who may be hiding behind someone else's point of view, for instance, or, you know, have not exercised their own point of view in their career long enough to solidify it as something to defend and communicate with their craft in the most impactful and interesting way possible. If they haven't developed those skills, then this does look very intimidating.
It sure does. And that perspective, to me, feels like a TED Talk, but we're not here to do that. We are here to have our podcast discussion. So just some data around this topic. 59% of marketing professionals believe AI will boost creativity, but 1 in 3 say it will negatively impact self-worth. Mm. And there's, you know, already a comparison trap when you think about social media already fuels this, you know, need to measure up, and maybe AI could potentially amplify that effect. But even though we know that the content that's coming out of AI is artificial, our emotions can still be affected. Totally. So you hit on something though that I want to kind of like just double click on. Oh, I hate that I just said that. Oh, I kind of want to punch myself, but I'm just going to keep going. And it's this idea of like feelings and being confident, and you're a very seasoned, tenured creative. Of course you understand the benefits and the value of AI. But there are some creatives that are starting to really doubt their abilities, and it's really contributing to something that I struggle with at times, which is imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so this is much like social media, and I'm glad you bring it up, right? This is another form of technology that could either amplify the negative. Usually it's not an either or, it's a both. Amplify the negative, but also provide a lot more creative outlet and creative solutions. So like in the sense that like what AI can do for imposter syndrome is both the fact that it could totally accelerate it, which is, you know, and I'm being super wide sweeping with an emotion, but like a comparison emotion where you could be like, oh my God, like this, you know, machine or this thing just with a simple prompt did something that would probably take me a day to do in 5 minutes. Oh my God. Like I can't do, you know, I'm replaceable or whatnot. There's that imposter syndrome, but then there's a higher level imposter syndrome, which is, which I think can accelerate and AI does accelerate, which is, am I in the right business? Right? Because maybe my creativity using a tool like this is about creating websites rather than creating posters. Maybe it's around, you know, book writing and publishing rather than headline writing, because now I have this tool to really lean into a creativity that I might have an imposter syndrome in one sense of creativity in this industry. But now I have a tool to explore and maybe perhaps deny or continue to deny, but like I said, maybe lean into my imposter syndrome and other things. So it gives an opportunity to escape that imposter syndrome at the same time. So it's a weird, like I find there's a little bit of an ambivalence amongst the creative people that use the tool, right? I think there's the folks that who I guess I kind of identify as has a solidified point of view and therefore are able to deal with the negative emotions of imposter syndrome that are impossible to escape. Like if you're a good creative, you're gonna have imposter syndrome. Like I can't think of anyone who doesn't.
You should. Yeah.
But they use the tool to basically augment their own point of view.
Yeah.
And then there's others who, you know, have this like joy is the thief of comparison, right? Or comparison is the thief of joy, I guess is the saying, is who use it as a measuring stick to something that they haven't even yet developed completely already.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's a bifurcation going on, at least in the agency world of, you know, the sort of established versus non-established. And there's is an arms race, so to speak, or at least a race of who can appropriate quicker to their own ends.
I love that. It's a little bit of just even a perspective on glass half empty, glass half full, you know, because the other side to that threatening feeling is that AI could actually boost self-esteem because it could help potentially creative folk find and share like their personal narratives. And it's a tool for like self-discovery and storytelling. One of the things you said to me, Max, the very first time you and I talked about AI, this was like a long time ago, you called it an enabler. And I feel like that's still very much true. Like that's the way that we should be thinking about it as a partner, a collaborator, enabler to get to better work. And so I wish we could sort of all orient ourselves to that type of thinking. But it's hard.
It is. And again, like it's a massive transformative tool. It's, we're not talking about like, oh, Adobe came out with a new upgrade, right? Like this is... this is much bigger of a leap than going even from analog to digital, right? Because it's that enablement piece. It's not a replacement technology. It's really just a completely new, different way of using technology to get to where we want to get to.
Yeah.
And look, when we talk about creative and we talk about creative industry and we think about this big monolith that exists out there, and it is like, I haven't done the numbers and crunched the numbers, but probably the advertising industry employs 2 million people, right?
Right.
There's people like there's a significant amount of people who make a livelihood in this industry that is being transformed on the daily, right? So like today I'm a yellow, next week I might be 100% green, and 3 weeks from now it could be totally red because of a regulation or a new tool or some sort of thing where it's still being developed. And I think to your point about the emotions that come from that, right, is the seesawing that comes from that. The like, this is great, this is terrible, this is sort of okay, no, this is great again. Like,
yeah,
this equilibrium of like, where do I land in this shuffle, I think is the biggest thing that is shaking the industry, right? Is we've gone through the deprecation of the cookie, and we've gone through, you know, like writer strikes, and we've gone through, you know, the industry goes through so many changes, but and emotional swings up and down, but this one's like legit. This is existential to a certain extent for a lot of people, and I can imagine that the emotional state in the industry isn't healthy, yeah, you know, based upon the swings that are going on right now.
I feel all of that. So now if you don't mind, let's talk about experiences. Hmm. Here's an interesting bit. You probably know this because you know all the things, but the world's first AI art museum is soon to open its doors in LA. It's going to be right next to the Museum of Contemporary Art, interestingly enough. It's being dubbed Dataland. Huh. 38-year-old AI artist who has pledged to only use ethically collected or open source data sets,
okay,
with a promise to highlight the intersection of human imagination and the creative potential of machines.
Okay.
Thoughts?
It's a nothing burger.
I've never had it. Okay.
I mean, it's okay, cool. It seems like LA is the right place to do that. Look, there have been artists using machines to create art for decades, if not centuries, right? I mean, even just using machine learning and algorithms to create fractal art and motion design. And, you know, only a few years ago when NFTs were huge, right? Like just like AI generated kind of like art in order to create one of ones and stuff like that. It's been around for a long time. Is it worthy of a museum, right? And
sure.
how far we've come that it usually takes maybe a century or two to get, you know, enough credibility as an artist to be hung up in a gallery. But now it takes 14 minutes. I don't know. I feel like it just feels like very premature. And I would think that a lot of established artists, both in fine art and in tech art, would find this to be a little bit performative, mm-hmm, and not really deep. Does the news article tell you how much the tickets cost and what the?
I was just going to ask you, yeah, like, so are we getting tickets? Are
yeah,
we not?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like,
I mean,
it's less than $50.
Let's go check
going?
It out. Let's yeah. go check it out because okay. you know we have to check it out. But I feel like it's way. I don't know. It's just yeah. like, I don't know. You know, let's create something around the name du jour and make a museum around huh. it. Let's like ice cream. Let's do a museum.
Interesting. That was not my reaction when I read it. What I liked about it is that it's trying to parse the or still focus on the human aspect of art. You know what I mean? Like that it isn't just about the machines, but I see your point in it being sort of performative and a little like trendy, you know, like this is like the thing.
Yeah,
yeah I get
yeah.
it. I get it. So, you know, when it comes to experiences, you've said this to me, you really believe, I even think we talked about it in a previous episode, that AI is set to, I'm going to say, like, revolutionize experience marketing because it's going to really allow us to tailor content to individual preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you see that playing out? Like, what's the opportunity there?
I think... on a number of levels and going from like maybe tactical to philosophical. I mean, on the first one, it's just like when we think about experiences in the grand scheme of things, like cruises and travel and concert, like multi-day concerts or large scale sporting events, for instance, there's always going to be the need for, you know, intuitive journey mapping and kind of like conversational, trust mm-hmm. for guests, right? To increase the guest experience. And I just feel like the more personalized those levels of experiences get, that's how you're going to use AI from an SLM or LLM nature of is really kind of parsing through the contextual data of where that person is and the personal data to start tailoring experiences in much more kind of like significant ways and in more tailored ways. So I think hyper-personalization just through the way that data can be manipulated these days with artificial intelligence makes the personalization of those kinds of experiences a lot more interesting. I think a lot more memorable
yeah.
to a certain extent. I think beyond that though, like if we think that AI extrapolate out of 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, gives people more time, right? So if it takes the mundane tasks out and if the grand promise of AI is to create more opportunities to be out there humans are not going to be tied to their computers if computers are doing the work for them. Yeah. So there's this opportunity to rethink what time is and what how you can experientialize time. What you're paying for is now not necessarily goods and services as much as maybe more goods and experiences and time value. And so the opportunities is, okay, so what does that do to the music industry and the live entertainment industry? What does it do to content creation, et cetera, when people have more time for the funflation element of what we're seeing kind of on a macroeconomical level? So that regard, like, experiences can become micro in nature. Like, you could be, have a small business that only does curated 20-course meals on a Sunday with invite only, right?
Yeah,
and people
that
would be like, oh, I'm totally going to do that because I now I have time to do that. I've always wanted to do that, right? So now the kind of the palette of what we can give humans to experience is, you know, from a novelty perspective, a memory-making perspective, a learning perspective, an
it's
enrichment
crazy.
Perspective, it opens it all up for us, right? So that's what I mean about, like, it becomes super hyper-personalized and hyper, like, micro experientialized in really interesting ways.
Yeah. You've talked about memories a couple of times, and that was one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, will machines negatively impact our ability to make those really strong, sticky memories for brands? So I did a little bit of digging, and AI actually does mimic our brain's memory consolidation process because it uses a similar receptor process in the hippocampus. So I think it kind of speaks to what we've been talking about, which is finding this balance between using or thinking about AI as an enabler, as a tool, as a partner, but it really still requires that human intervention to really create that AI informed in brand experience, right? It's going to, like, take all of those things.
Look, everything that I put into my AI chats is memory based on my memories, right? So, like, like, everything that this tool gives back to me is based upon what the memories that I've created.
Aww. That makes me happy. And with that, I think we shall call this one a wrap. There's so much more we could talk about. Maybe we'll do part two. But appreciate you, Max, as always, sharing your perspective on these things, and look forward to some of those things that you described as we think about the future of this business that we're in.
I appreciate the kind words. Can I return the compliment really quickly?
Sure.
Way to go with the pendulum swing to go from dick moves all the way to AI. Amazing. Way to go.
Thanks,
audiences,
man.
You know we run variety out here.
Yeah, we do. All right. So till next time, Max.
Till next time, Elke.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.